Good morning and welcome back to Nachyomi. Today we're going to be focusing on the 32nd chapter, Perek Lamed Beis of Sefer Yeshayahu. This is a perek of 20 psukim and it is divided into two sections. We're going to be focusing on the first section, which is about the return of justice. So again, Yeshayahu is addressing the people at the times of Chizkiyahu HaMelech. And we're talking about the time when it sounds like Sancheriv is coming up, the Assyrians are rising, and he now talks to them and discusses the issues of society itself. Not so much their issues with God, but the way that society itself is run. He says in the first section that a righteous king will be established who will bring justice to the officers. So, Hein Tzedek Yilayim Loich Melech Ulasarim Lemishpot Yosoru. He's going to bring about justice. He will make a shelter for people against the currents of water and the rays of energy of the enemy, like a giant boulder. So you can imagine this giant boulder sort of standing there, preventing the water from carrying them away, or creating the shade for people to hide behind. We've seen these two metaphors for destruction. One is a zerem of water, a flow of water, and one is these powerful rays of energy. And so this king will create this refuge for his people. How? He'll understand what people really mean. The givers and the takers in society will no longer be mixed up. Meaning, you're no longer going to call these disgraceful people, these takers, to be considered givers. Right? We're no longer going to mix up the benefactors and those people who take away from society. And he says he continues to describe how Chizkiyahu will understand. This king will understand. What the naval, what the disgusting people, ki naval nevala yadaber v'libo yase ovim v'la'asoyschonev. That there are people in society who are takers, will simply be using others as vehicles for their own self-edification. Chizkiyahu will understand this, but he says that in the end of the day, the people who are going to rise up to the top is the nadiv, the person who's giving. V'nadiv nedivos yo'atz huvuhu al nedivos yo'kum. And he's going to be established through his nedivos, through his giving. Which means to say that the focus of this first section, up to Pasuk Ches, seems to be focusing on how society as a whole is going to be morally uplifted by this new king, by Chizkiyahu HaMelech, is going to be justice. It's fascinating. Yeshayahu doesn't spend so much time focusing on this. A lot of time Yeshayahu has talked to up till now has been about the mistrust of people, of society, of the times of Achaz in other powers around them. That's what we've been focusing on up till now, and that's really a sin against God. Yeah, more explicitly in the lack of trust of God. However, it seems to be that now he's talking about how society itself has had problems. They have been mismanaging the poor, mismanaging those people who should really have office. Seem to be people who seek power. So Yechizkiel is going to straighten that up. He's going to understand who people really are. One point to ponder in this section is who is this prophecy actually referring to? So the Chomas Anach, which is the Pirush of the Chidah, on Tanakh, suggests the following, that it's referring to Chizkiyahu HaMelech, and what he brings about in kings, or in the nation of Israel and their realization, is that kings aren't simply military figureheads. Meaning, up till now, people believed that kings were their savior, their salvation, their general. But what's happened is that Chizkiyahu HaMelech is going to bring about a change where people realize that a king is also a person who's the moral banner for the people. Meaning they witness the exile of the ten tribes of the north, and they realize that a king isn't simply a general because it didn't work. It wasn't working there. They need to have somebody who's a moral example, a person who's going to straighten up society for the king to be successful. That's the lesson they're learning from witnessing the God of Sarasa Shvatim, and in turn, their ability to be able to have Chizkiyahu HaMelech and to change the society itself. This is what's happening in this section over here. This is the way he describes it. In Ken Nizgalik HaMelech Eno Mo'il Klal. We see from that in the north the king was not helpful at all. The king is not to fight, it's what Hashem wants will happen militarily. The king is to bring about justice, that a king will reign for justice. The second section of this parak runs from Pasuk Tes all the way to the end, and this is a section which talks about the cycle of destruction and growth. In this again, Kadosh Baruch Hu talks about a destruction, an imminent destruction, and the way the turn the the terms he uses is about women who sit in confidence thinking they are safe, meaning to say, Noshim sha'ana nois, komna, shemana koli, please listen to me, benois betuchois, hazen omrasi, those young ladies who think they're so safe, please, please listen to me because danger is coming. There's going to come a time when tirgazna betuchois, you're going to be so scared, you're going to be terrified about what's going to come. Chirdu sha'ana nois, rogza betuchois, there's going to be this terrible fear and this, as they're led into exile in his most, graphic descriptions, al shadaim softim, al sedei chemed v'al gefen paria, that they're going to be mourning over their lost beauty, over the sedei chemed, or the beautiful field, and this flowering vine, which is going to be lost. And he says in the most poetic terms, al admas ami koitz shamir ta'ale, on the ground of my nation, the thorn will take over and will cover even the places, the simcha halls, where so much joy was shared, and the arman hanutash, the palace will be left, will be abandoned. Hamona ir uzav, the city will be emptied. Ofel v'vah v'chan hayab b'adam aras ad olam. It'll be almost eternally that people will flee to the caves. Masois pra'im mirei adarim, and these places will be left simply as the grazing pastures of the sheep. Until when will this last? Until HaKadosh Baruch Hu will pour his ruach back and reinvigorate this desert, turning it back to the Carmel, back to the place of fertility, Yerushalayim. That was a desert, will become like a place of Carmel in justice, because in Stokah, that's when peace will return. When their righteousness will return to society, that's when we will succeed. And he talks about this notion of peace that will encompass all inhabitants to the degree that even hail won't fall on the plants. It won't destroy the plants and the foliage around Yerushalayim. The city that will be rebuilt with low walls because of security. Nobody will be scared of anybody from outside. And wherever people will plant, they will succeed. Wherever people will pasture their animals, they'll be fine. Ashreichem zorei al kol maim, you'll be praiseworthy, those who plant on all waters. Meshalchei regel ashor v'achamor, you'll send out your livestock anywhere you want because there'll be what to eat. So what is the section referring to? So Barbanel points out that while there is a great miracle that's happening to Chizkiyahu in the south, and they're being saved from Sancheriv, what Yeshayahu is pointing out is, don't think that you've got a God get out of jail free card. Don't think that this is going to be the be-all and end-all, because those noshim hashana nos, those women who are feeling confident from the fact that they did not go to exile, well, there's a later danger coming. That later danger is going to be referring to Nebuchadnezzar, the Babylonian destruction, meaning he's talking to the future now, no longer something which will happen during his days. How do we know this is not referring to the Sancheriv, this Assyrian period in time? Well, he talks about ideas of the city being abandoned and the Armon, the palace being rejected. So that can only be referring to a time we're referring to the destruction of Yerushalayim, which is not in the times of Yishael, not in the times of Chizkiyahu, but in the future itself. What is this mashal with the woman that is the loss of beauty and being taken to exile? One of the psukim describes how they're taken unclothed to exile, grabbing onto any sackcloth to cover themselves. So it's interesting that the psichta in Eicha Rabasi, which is one of the midrashim in the introduction of Eicha, talks about how it's a metaphor. These different entities talked about are referring to different entities in Klal Yisrael. The Shadayim, the breasts are referring to Sanhedrin, the Sdei Chemed, this beautiful fields are referring to the Mikdash, and the Gefen Poria, this flowering or growing vine, is referring to Bnei Yisrael. And it's sort of metaphoric descriptions for each of the different entities of Klal Yisrael as they are pulled apart. It is interesting, of course, that the description over here of beauty is something which is related to the Mikdash. And we're going to see this as we go later on into the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash, how beauty, in a certain sense, physical beauty, is an expression of spiritual beauty. And when the spiritual content has been lost, then automatically the physical beauty itself sort of melts away. And this seems to be what Yeshayahu is focusing on. This is one of the unusual moments where Yeshayahu no longer thinks only about what's happening now in the times of Assyria, but also in the future, warning people don't get so comfortable with the success of victory against Assyria. In the meantime, have a wonderful and meaningful day.